Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back. Josh Vernier, Steven Serta, Show and Vern with you until 2 o'clock. That's when we'll hand things off to The Drive. Broadcasting live from Winning Streaks inside Harrah's, North Kansas City. Man, I saw Fesco and Kling and Witkowski get out of here quickly. They had the nice buzz still going. No, okay. Kling and Fesco had the nice buzz going. I think Witkowski must be driving them, but they are heading to Winning Streaks right now to start getting after it and watching the games together. As Sir to mention, we will keep you updated with scores on the 10s. Around the show, Hughley out today, out tomorrow. A truncated show tomorrow as we have the pregame for K-State UC Irvine beginning at 12 noon. Tip off at 1 o'clock. And then, well, I mentioned Winning Streaks, right? We got the guys from The Drive coming up at 2 o'clock live from Winning Streaks. On Friday, a celebratory K-State victory postgame with our guy Jay Binkley. He'll be live from Winning Streaks inside Harrah's, North Kansas City, and he joins us now in studio. My old friend, my lifelong buddy, Jay Binkley, our draft expert here at 610 Sports Radio. Bink, thank you very much for the time. How are you?
Hey, doing well, Vern. You can actually say that now, because I used to say that after 1 year. And you're like, yeah, we've been lifelong friends. Right. You and I started the same day.
Right. You will
the exact same day. I don't remember what day it was, but I think it was June something.
If Show wasn't upset to hear Spectre once again on the program, I know he's already jealous of you because you will be in the wedding, my upcoming wedding in September. He will have absolutely no role in the wedding, and you will be the usher. You, earlier in the week, posted your latest mock draft 3.0. All three of them have had the same player at the top, the same guy being selected 29th overall by your Kansas City Chiefs. Who is he? And is he going to be at the top of the list come 4.0?
He is not. I am getting off the Jalen Ferguson bandwagon. He did not compete at the combine. This was the NCAA all-time leader in sacks. His name is Sack Daddy. And I thought it'd be perfect because if the Chiefs wanted to stay put, because there's not a lot of value from like 13 through 25 through 26. It's kind of a shot in the dark. And there's so many question marks on some of these edge rushers, like an early edge rusher like Montez Sweat from Mississippi State that had this heart issue that they say is not an issue at this point. Cleveland Farrell is the guy that I would consider trading up for. That is who I'm considering to mock at number one for the Chiefs moving up to 21. Heard rumblings at Seattle might want to trade out of that spot. But Jalen Ferguson was my guy, but he didn't compete at the combine because of the NFL and this policy about off-the-field issues.
Well, describe him real quick. Give me a little bit more about where he's from, the position that he plays, and what he could bring to the Chiefs before you get to why he's no longer the guy.
He's an edge rusher. He's an edge rusher, big frame. It fits the frame of what Steve Spagnuolo looks for, three technique or five technique, plays the outside. And really, when you watch this guy's game film, it's not like Dontari Poe where you had to search, you know, for moves he made. I mean, you look at YouTube. What did he ever do? With him, you do. Just go back to the LSU game. It's who you play. John Dorsey always said that. He goes, I don't care what games you play. I cared who you played against. Meaning, did you play Bama? Did you play Georgia? Did you play these teams? And he played LSU at Louisiana Tech and absolutely rolled them, as the draft network called, tossed around LSU's right tackle like he was a D3 kid. I like this, but he didn't compete at the combine. He got a fight in McDonald's as a freshman in college. It's not a big deal, Vern. I mean, in the grand scale of things that these guys can do, this was a non-issue, but it happened to fall into what the NFL didn't like to do. So he has this pro day where you do all the events in one day. It's not like the combine where you may do the bench before, but you do them all. The bench press, very respectable from them. The broad jump, very respectable from them. But the lateral movement, the three-cone drill, and not only that, it's not the 40-yard times with these guys, even though at his size he had a respectable, I think 4.8 is what they decided his 40 time was, but it's the 10-yard split that wasn't very good for him. And really, that's what edge rushers are going to do. You don't have to worry about 40 yards. What do you do in 10 yards sure. as far as getting to the quarterback? So I've had this guy and liked this guy, but I had no numbers. I had no numbers to go by, and he had his pro day, and the numbers weren't great.
So his draft stock plummets.
I could see this guy falling. I'm not saying the Chiefs won't take this guy, but picking at 29 with him is not there. I'm at the point now where I would almost consider trading up if Seattle's willing to do it. And again, I go by this Jimmy Johnson. He wants to put out this trade value chart. And the Chiefs are at 640, let's say. And Seattle's at 800. So essentially, you would give them 640, but then you'd have to give another pick to get yourself up to that 800, like a third-round pick or whatever. Because when you're swapping in the 20s from 21 to 29, you flip your ones, and then you give them like a third round. Or you may say, hey, Seattle, we'll give you a second-round pick next year because they have 2 second-round picks next year. But I'm not 100% sure it's worth it. The Chiefs now need to concentrate, I think, on making a deal. And I've heard people talk about bringing in Jadeveon Clowney. He's playing on the franchise tag. But then I ask myself all the time, why would the Houston Texans that won their division, that have a franchise quarterback, why would they want to help the Kansas City Chiefs, the team picked to win the AFC, make them better, give them that piece that they need? So the Chiefs are in this quandary right now.
But if you trade for Jadeveon Clowney, you would have to sign him to a long-term deal, something that they might not be willing to. And I can't imagine the Chiefs would be willing to, because they weren't willing to do it with Dee Ford.
No, they weren't willing to do it, even though I think this is more of a fit.
Okay.
Clowney's more of a fit.
I can agree with that.
But if I'm the Texans, why do I want to make the Chiefs better? And for years, the Patriots have gotten away with this with teams making them better, and I can't figure it out. It's like the Steelers. They were never going to move Antonio Brown to the Kansas City Chiefs. Why would you take a guy and trade? It's like the Chiefs. They were going to trade Dee Ford to the Indianapolis Colts. San Francisco's fine. San Francisco's not a threat at all for the Kansas City Chiefs. They're not a threat in the NFC. That's New Orleans right now, in my opinion. But why would the Texans, who were in the playoffs, who won the division, look at the Chiefs and say, this team, the only thing they're really needing at this point is an edge rusher? They already got the honey badger that we wanted to bring back to the Houston Texans. You think we want to trade them Clowney? Not going to happen. But the Chiefs are in a situation now at 29. They may consider moving back, getting an extra second-round pick, because that's where it's loaded with corners and safeties. Edge rusher's tough. Out of the top 20 sackers last year, Josh, 14 of them were first-round picks. 4 were second-round picks, 2 were third-round picks, and nothing beyond third round was in the top 20. So edge rushers are a special breed, but unless you're trading up to get Bosa or Josh Allen, I mean, you got to make a splash, and you got to move up to 3 or 4 if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, and I don't think they're willing to do that.
Well, that word right there, splash, that is something, as we're joined by Jay Binkley, our draft expert. Mock Draft 3.0 is up at 610sports.com. I have a feeling 4.0 is not far behind.
Don't pay attention to my first pick on this. I went back to mock school.
Okay, so 4.0 is coming soon, then. I have to imagine
As early as I've been doing this, we might get up to like 12.0.
That's fine. There is definitely an appetite, but the word you used there.
But I like the rest of it.
A splash. That's what it would be if they moved up to grab. You'd have to move up in the top 5, the top 8, to get someone like a Josh Allen, to get someone like
But you do that for quarterbacks.
Let me ask you this.
But Bosa skipped his pro day, and so did Cleveland Farrell, which red
flags. The way that Brett Veach has spoken of late, especially on that teleconference, when he is letting everyone know, hey, I understand that our defense might not be awe-inspiring right now, but the season doesn't start on Sunday. There's still so much time, and Khalil Mack was moved in August. We have so much time yet to make another move. I interpret that as a splash is forthcoming. You don't put your hog out there the way that Brett Veach did if you're not going to follow through. You don't part with the name players that the Chiefs parted with to bring in Honey Badger and a bunch of complimentary pieces. Now, I believe, there better be another big splash coming. So if you don't think it's a Jadeveon Clowney, is it out of the realm of possibility? Because I know a lot of people listening. You see it on the text line, I'm sure, every night on Bink at Night. A splash is forthcoming, and if you're telling me the biggest splash they could make in the draft would be to move up to grab one of those edge rushers, is it out of the realm of possibility?
They would have to go pretty far, in my opinion. They would have a better option to go to call Seattle, and who's willing to trade up, who's on the franchise tag, Frank Clark. I mean, that's the guy out there that is in a different conference that is someone more feasible to the Kansas City Chiefs.
That's
than
a Clown. Character risk guy right there.
Well, I mean,
he's got a domestic violence in his background as well.
I get it, but you know, if you trade him, if you do it kind of like San Francisco, where essentially Dee Ford's on a 1-year deal. I mean, even though he's got a long term deal, but they can back out of that after 1 year. Maybe they could do the same thing with Frank Clark.
Answer the question though: will you dismiss the notion of getting a Josh Allen, getting the kid? Who I think
he'd be
next
so perfect
Bosa.
Because Matt House, the guy that recruited him, right. The guy that coached him, the guy that built him, who he is the Chiefs linebacker coach.
For what it
coach.
Would take the Chiefs to get up to, let's say, pick 8, 9, or 10, which you would think he'll be off the board.
You're
by
looking
the top
at a
10.
Value of about 1,300 to move up to like 4 or 5. You're looking at a value of 1,700, and again, the Chiefs' first round picks. This Jimmy Johnson's chart is about 640. So you'd have to get from 640 to about 1,700.
So you'd give them pick number 29, next year's second-round pick, and another second-round pick
even have
from
to
this
go,
year.
You might even have to go to first-round pick next year, probably. So the first-round pick next year.
Man, maybe I'm just caught up in the conversation that we're having right now, but your first, one of your seconds, and one of your seconds next year.
And if the Chiefs
year,
are good next year like we think they
to
are,
to get a player of that
caliber.
That would
caliber, only be 1,200, sure. 12, about 1,280.
To move, I just called you show. To move up, though, to get an impact player, if you believe he's a guy that can step in and make a Joey Bosa kind of impact where you immediately become one of the finest at your position in the NFL, you know this organization. You know Brett Veach. You know Andy Reid. You know the aggressiveness that they believe that they have. What should I say when that's brought up? Is that a possibility? Because throughout the Dee Ford discussion, when I was against the trade, when Ron the Show Hughley was against the trade, a lot of people on the other side, what they would bring to us was the splash can be in the draft moving up to get the kid out of Kentucky. Do you believe that it is a possibility, yes or no?
No, not with the amount that they'd have to give up. You'd have to give it more than you did for Patrick Mahomes. I just don't see them valuing that position at that rate, even though it's a premium position, as I've said. Do you believe in a Cleveland Farrell who did skip his pro day? Do you believe that moving up? Now, he is falling. He's somewhere in the 20s. The Chiefs could actually move with 8 to 9 spots to get it, but I don't think that's the splash that you're looking for. Now, do they think with Okafor and bringing in the Honey Badger that is pretty good at rushing the quarterback, 6th in the NFL since he came in the league as far as defensive backs actually getting to the quarterback, do you have enough to manufacture? But keep this in mind, too. Sacks are sometimes overrated. The Patriots were 30th in the NFL in sacks last year. But when it got to the postseason,
yeah, sacks, fine. But you understand that you can find a stat to back up anything. The Patriots aren't normal. The Patriots have the greatest defensive mind of all time in Bill Belichick. Pressure matters. Fine, I'm with you. Sacks
Okafor's
don't matter.
A guy that can pressure.
But let's not dismiss the idea that you got to get to the quarterback.
You do.
Okay, maybe you don't with, sack him, but you got to hit that dude.
You raise his production a little bit. You get Chris Jones, who had 15 and a half sacks last year. Like I said, the Honey Badger can be placed in a position to blitz
right.
at linebacker.
I want to discuss, because I can see what road you're going down. I know you and I disagree on whether or not the defense is better today than it was when they lost to the Patriots in the AFC title game. I want to dive into that. Also, get your thoughts on Jay Glazer's report concerning Tyreek Hill. All of that coming up right after this on Show and Vern.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Yeah, can't wait for that Tuesday from 10 to 2. 17 chances for you to win a pair of tickets to opening day. We are a week away from opening day. Royals and White Sox, Brad Keller and Carlos Rodon squaring off at the K. Cody Tapp gets you started at 2 o'clock with Cody's On Deck show. Cody on the air tonight with Royals Hot Stove with Cody Tapp. That's tonight at 6 o'clock. Kyle Zimmer will join him. Following Royals Hot Stove, my guy Jay Binkley takes over Bink at Night. The great Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride will join them. Plenty of Chiefs talk coming your way. Jay Binkley joining us in studio as his mock drafts continue to be the talk of Twitter. 610sports.com. Mock draft 3.0 is out. I would expect 4.0 out by Monday.
I had to link him because the Chiefs took him, Jalen Ferguson, to dinner Sunday night. They have him scheduled for a visit this week. I thought there was some definite interest there, but not sure when they see that, when they see those times at that pro day if my guy is still looking for a nice spot.
Bink, before we get to, and you can catch Jay Binkley tomorrow live from Winning Streaks from 6 until 9 o'clock. Winning Streaks inside Harrah's, North Kansas City. The drive will be live from Winning Streaks today starting at 2. I know Fesco in the morning, the whole gang's out there right now watching game one, which just tipped off Louisville and Minnesota. Bink, before we get to this defense and how you and I disagree on some of the decisions that have been made, but overall on where this defense is in comparison to where it was at the end of the 2018 season, before we get to that, your thoughts on what is the biggest Chiefs story of the day, and that is the great Jay Glazer, who I think is as plugged in as anyone else in the NFL, more so than Schefter, more so than Rappaport. To me, Glazer's a guy that these front office personnel and players view more as an equal than a reporter. They work out with this dude. I think that they respect him more than they do Schefter and Rappaport. Those guys both, I think, are viewed more as reporters than equals. So he puts out on The Athletic in his weekly mailbag, there were questions in Kansas City about whether they would re-sign Tyreek Hill. Jay Glazer says he heard rumblings at the start of free agency that Tyreek's name was being thrown around in trade talks, and at the time he thought it had more to do with his contract more than anything else, including this ongoing investigation into a battery, possible child neglect or abuse at his home in Overland Park. But Jay Glazer saying that the Chiefs were throwing Tyreek's name around in trade talks. Your first reaction?
My first reaction is why? If not Tyreek, what are you going to do to replace that? There's only two guys that really could have done that. And, well, there's a couple more, but OBJ, gone. Right. Antonio Brown, gone. Right. You're going to make a splash? Peely going to deal with you with the Julio Jones? I mean, where are you going to make that move? Tyreek Hill was one of those guys, and Patrick Mahomes said it at OTAs back in 17 when he got here, and he reiterated it after the Steelers game. My job is to put the ball in the hands of my playmakers and let them make plays. It seems so simple in concept, but sometimes we overanalyze football where that is easy. Look back at Patrick Mahomes' throws. They weren't dead-end throws, meaning throw it right. It's not like Kurt Warner getting bowled and killed in Arizona and like apologizing profusely for leading him right into a safety's hard hit. That didn't happen. He was putting the ball in the hands of his playmakers and allowing them to get yacked, to allow them to make plays afterwards. He did it all year with Watkins, did it with Kelce, did it with Tyreek Hill. And those guys can make plays with their feet. This guy works into the puzzle, and I get the AFC title game. Belichick had a plan for Tyreek Hill and took him out. But
you know what that means. That's the sounder apparently that we're going with. That sounded like a lightsaber. Scores on the tens as we look to the NCAA tournament. 7-seeded Louisville on top of 10th-seeded Minnesota. 4-3, just about 4 minutes into the game. Scores on the tens here on 610 Sports Radio. I would appreciate if we found a different sounder. The lightsaber is quite startling. Binkley, you were rudely interrupted there by Steven Serta.
4-3. 4-3 Louisville. Do you say Louisville or you say Louisville?
I say Louisville.
It's Louisville.
Right.
Louisville.
I say it
that's
how they want me to say
Louisville.
It.
But no, what I was saying is the playmakers, you have to get there first, meaning you have to, and I get it. Yeah, we can look back at the production of Hill and Kelce in that AFC title game, and it wasn't great. But you have to put yourself in a position to get those home games throughout the regular season with having playmakers. And with the team in this window right now, I look at Tyreek Hill right now as the second most valuable player on the Kansas City Chiefs, and I don't even think that they're – is a question about that at all. It's more important than Kelce. It's a lot more important than what Kareem Hunt was. It's more important, believe it or not, than Chris Jones. It's more important than the Honey Badger. He's more important than Eric Berry. He is the second most important person on the Kansas City Chiefs because teams do not have an answer. And if you want to know his true value, listen to what defensive coordinators said during the week before they played the Chiefs. They said, yes, we have to stop Patrick Mahomes to a man. They never said that about Alex Smith. They said we have to stop Jamal Charles back in the day.
Right.
But Tyreek Hill is their main concern outside of Patrick Mahomes.
All I needed was to hear from Bill Belichick and the way that he talked about the speed of Tyreek Hill. I remember being in the Bengals locker room after the Chiefs slapped them around on Sunday night or Thursday night, whenever that game was. The way that they talked about Tyreek Hill's speed. I remember Derwin James having a conversation with Ron Hughley about the speed of Tyreek Hill. Binkley, you know that a lot of these NFL players, they don't like to hand out praise to the opposition. In my years covering the NFL or being in locker rooms, I've never heard coaches and players speak about an opponent the way that they speak about Tyreek Hill. Look, so long as, it's my opinion, so long as he didn't lie to the Chiefs like Kareem Hunt did, which is what they gave us as the reasoning why they were getting rid of Kareem Hunt. So long as Tyreek Hill was open and honest with the Chiefs, even if he's suspended, let's not act like we're talking about a random job around the community. We're talking about the NFL, a cold-blooded, cutthroat business. Even if he is suspended, even if he is culpable in this investigation, it's my opinion he shouldn't go anywhere because, again, we're not trying to save the world. We're trying to win a Super Bowl.
You are, and Patrick Mahomes can't elevate the play of others. You got Albert Wilson, a very nice contract in that last game he played in Denver. But the two of those guys together, that is a rare combination when you have a quarterback with the arm strength of Patrick Mahomes and a guy that can get down the field who actually gets said pass reliably like Tyreek Hill. That's just the combination that you look for. We talk about the coach-quarterback combination. Hey, having that quarterback-receiver combination, Duper Marino, you have to have that guy, Jerry Rice, Joe Montana. I mean, it's very important. And the wide receiver position is more important than the running back position. Now, it's why OBJ, that could have been a running back at LSU, went to wide receiver. It's why all the good, talented guys, you see wide receivers built now like running backs. Right. Why? Because they could have been running backs back when running backs were getting paid and when running backs were being valued. But now those guys are wide receivers.
Jay Binkley coming your way. Bink at night tonight at 7 o'clock. Pete Sweeney of ArrowheadPride.com joins him in studio. Bink, as you know, the text line loves to snitch on us. If one show says something about another show, we always end up finding out because the text line snitches. So I found out that you and I disagree via the text line. I believe at best this Chiefs defense is a push compared to the defense that lost to the Patriots. I don't think that they've gotten a lot better or a lot worse. I think they're about the same. I was told you disagree. You're the guest. I'll let you get the first word.
Yeah, I think that's unequivocally false. I'm going to try to change your mind right here. As we sit right here, and I know you were doing Royals last year, just pretend like you did because you did care about the Chiefs. As you sat last year on March, what day is the day?
21st.
Did you have confidence, more confidence about the defense on March 21st in 2018, or did you have more confidence about the defense March 21st, 2019? That's the question you have to ask yourself because nothing has changed through the years with the Chiefs. It is a new direction. It is a change in philosophy. It is an all-star staff that they've put together. They've actually put a staff together with several candidates, like a Daly and like a Matt House.
Oh, I love Matt House.
That'll end up being defensive coordinators or head coaches in this league. This is something you haven't been able to say before. It's been the offense with Doug Peterson and Matt Nagy and Eric Bieniemy that's going to be the next head coach. They have head coaching. They have
Are you going to tell me about playmakers?
NFL head coach in Spagnuolo.
Okay, great. I agree. The coaching has improved, but we're doing this again. We're doing this again where the coaches are on the front line. It's not one of the instances where we got playmakers that when push comes to shove, they're going to ball out and cover up mistakes that could be made by coaches.
As far as NFL teams, where would you put the Patriots actual roster defensively?
Don't do that. Don't compare to the Patriots.
That is coaching and scheme. Listen to this.
Belichick's the greatest mind sport has ever seen.
Listen,
don't compare anybody to him.
This is why this defense is better. Listen to these 23 seconds from Justin Houston.
Oh, Jesus.
This was 2017.
Yeah, I feel like the way we played tonight as a defense, we played great. Only thing I would ask for more is a better run defense. But besides that, I feel like we played great. We played it as a whole.
What did you feel like that was missing the last 2 weeks that you might have felt more of tonight?
Just being on the same page, I felt like we weren't playing together as a whole on defense. We were just playing separate.
There's one problem.
2017, nothing changed in 15. Nothing changed in 14. Things have changed. And if you can't look at this and say, does Steve Spagnuolo give us a better chance to win defensively than Bob Sutton did, that alone
who's pressuring
makes
the
this
quarterback
defense better than last year. They're not done, Vern. Rome wasn't built in a day.
You told
Khalil
me they're
Mack
not
wasn't
up
traded until September.
Oh, God.
The draft hasn't even happened. The
so
Chiefs
now you're,
are done.
You're just going to puppet what Brett Veach said.
Does Honey Badger give you more than Eric Berry, who sat on the sideline all last year as a cheerleader? Yes.
Who's
the Honey
giving
Badger
you more
makes
than
a difference. Breland is better than Steven Nelson. They will work on the pass rush.
All right.
Chris Jones is coming back, but it's a defensive philosophy, and it's a guy with a bunch of rings coaching your defensive line, and Matt House, who had the sixth best defense, scoring defense in the NFL last year from Kentucky, that's just as your linebacker coach. This defense is better. I have more confidence right now that this defense will be better the next year. Last year, year before, we can't stop the run. Derek Johnson, training camp, we need to stop the run. They couldn't do it, they wouldn't do it, and they can't do it. This defense is better than last year, even as we sit right now.
Jay, I love you. Thank you very much for joining us.
I disagree.
No, Serta, you know we got to go to break.
Let's tangle.
No, we're not fighting. Binkley, we'll hear you tonight, 7 o'clock, Bink at Night. Catch Binkley tomorrow from 6 to 9, live from Winning Streaks inside Harrah's, North Kansas City. When we get back, I'll tell you exactly what we're going to learn today about Bill Self.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Back at it, Show and Vern minus Show. He'll be back on Monday. He's in Arizona with the family at Royal Spring Training. I know he took in a Suns game last night, went to the Cubs, Royals game the night before that, went to the zoo, having a great time out there. But we're excited to get Ron back coming up on Monday. One more reminder about what's coming up on Tuesday on Show and Vern. 17 chances for you to win a pair of tickets to opening day. Every 15 minutes on Show and Vern, coming up on Tuesday, you'll have a chance to win opening day tickets. Now, we'll be there. We'll be broadcasting live outside of Gate D at Kauffman Stadium. We got a lot of very cool things planned for that show. But, man, I don't know how it gets cooler than what's going down on Tuesday. 10:15, 10:30, 10:45, 11, 11:15. Every 15 minutes, your chance to win opening day tickets. 17 different opportunities. So make sure you're listening. Make sure you set an alarm. Put it in your calendar, in your phone right now. Tuesday, Show and Vern, 10 to 2. You know there's not that many people listening. You have a great opportunity to win a pair of tickets to get in to opening day a week from today. And, of course, you'll hear the game as Denny Matthews kicks off what year 51 is the voice of the Royals. You'll hear it all right here on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio. Speaking of Denny Matthews, Serta and I are taking our best hacks at play-by-play coming up on Saturday. Mentioned this a lot yesterday that Saturday night we're going to be bringing you the NAIA semifinals. Serta and I doing play-by-play for the 5:30 game and the 7:30 game. I just came across this, Serta, on Twitter about one of the best broadcasters, if not the best broadcaster currently going, Brian Anderson. A self-proclaimed research junkie, Brian Anderson likes to go beyond the basic statistics to tell the backstory of a player or coach using advanced analytics. A big video. Okay. We really got to do something about that sounder. That is awkward. But that sounder means that it is time for scores on the tens. What's going on in the NCAA tournament? Only one game underway, and that has the 10th-seeded Golden Gophers of Minnesota on top of Louisville, 12-11, with just about 10.5 left to play in the first half. My point was, Brian Anderson has a 2-minute video about his preparation for play-by-play. We got a lot of work to do to make sure that we sound as good as we can coming up on Saturday. I would appreciate it if you guys would give it a listen and let us know how we're doing. Saturday, 5:30 tip, 7:30 tip, over on our sister station, 1660 The Score. 5:30, 7:30 over on 1660 The Score. All right, so Kansas plays today at 3 o'clock. They take on Northeastern. Actually, before I get to that, I got a real question for you, Serta, and for all of you on the text line as well. One of my good friends from college that we all still, you know, we keep in touch. I got a pretty big group. I think it's like 8 or 9 guys that are a part of this text chain that continues. I would think a lot of you have that. College buddies that you still keep in touch with, even though you graduated from college a good 15 years ago. You're friends from college, right? Am I the only one that has, and I love him, but he's an idiot? We all have an idiot friend or two or three or four. I have an idiot friend that, you know, he's texting us something idiotic this morning. And another friend replies and says, "Hey, Chris, why are you awake this early?" And his reply was, you know, flying people around the country. He's a pilot. He says, "I'm flying around the pleasant people of Des Moines, Iowa, bro." And then he took a selfie of him, you know, in the cockpit, flying this humongous plane for a major, major airline. And, I mean, it immediately makes my stomach drop that this moron, my good friend who I love, but this idiot has this job, this all-important, I'm in charge of 100 people's lives kind of job. It makes me nervous as to what kind of background checks, how easy is it to become a pilot? Protein House, Eat with a Purpose, text line 69306. That should worry you. Trust me. It should worry you that this moron is a pilot. He's done everything, apparently, that it takes to become a pilot. Do you have a friend like this?
Off the rundown.
Yeah, right. I still want to get to Kansas, but sure. Off the rundown, sponsored by absolutely no one. Someone could step up. Am I alone, Serta? Do you have a friend that, sure, he's your buddy, but he's an idiot, and how the hell did he get this job?
Yes, without a doubt.
Are you that buddy? Are other people going, yeah, Serta's like that?
I think I might be for some friends. But I'm not, I don't consider myself like that because I tell people all the time pretty much all I do is, you know, half-ass things and crack jokes.
Right, right.
But I do have some friends that have very important jobs, very high-ranking jobs, and jobs that can really affect other people's lives. And the particular friend that I'm thinking of has done some disgusting, just tasteless things. And has no business being in charge of other people's lives. But he pretty much is.
Protein House, Eat with a Purpose, text line 69306. You're a pretty crappy friend, Vern, for dogging him out like that. Listener 777. He's not listening. And he would acknowledge that he's an idiot. From the 573, Vern, don't snitch on your friends. 913, hope the government isn't listening. You're going to cost him a job. No, you don't know his last name. All you know is that his first name is Chris. Last name starts with a P. I'll give you that, government. From the 913, I'm a private pilot. It's scary how easy it is to become a pilot. From the 816, Vern, I graduated with a buddy from Mizzou with a much higher GPA, and now he's the one at Vanderbilt trying to find cures for cancer. Well, that's respectable. I mean, he's trying. He obviously hasn't yet, but he's trying. Vern, I have a dumbass friend who just became a chiropractor. He's going to break a kid's neck before it's all said and done. Listener 8, it really doesn't take a lot to be a pilot. I have a friend that's a pilot, and I've never seen anyone drink as much as and as often as he does on the regular. Okay. From the 816, I have two very good friends. One's a dentist, one's an eye doctor, and both are extremely dumb. God, that is so bad. And I have to imagine that sounder is copyrighted and Lucasfilms does not play around, Serta. Maybe we could find a different sounder.
That's the last one in the folder.
All right, so that sounder, even though it belongs to Lucasfilms Incorporated, I have to believe that is our sounder to let you know that it's time for scores on the tens. There is now two games underway. Seventh-seeded Louisville on top of number 10 Minnesota. 17-15, 7:45 left to play in the first half. And there it is. They just tipped off in Jacksonville. Number 3, LSU against 14-seeded Yale. No score, 5 seconds into that game. Scores on the tens all day long right here on 610 Sports Radio. Hey, maybe I'm being mean with all of this, but these minor league baseball players, they need to wake the hell up and they need to do it quickly. I'll explain next.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Welcome back, Show and Vern. Taking you up to 2 o'clock. That's when we'll send things out to winning streaks inside Harrah's, North Kansas City. That's where you can find Fesco in the morning right now. Whole gang out there watching these games, knocking them back, enjoying some great food specials out there at Winning Streaks. The Drive will broadcast live from Winning Streaks starting at 2 o'clock. Protein House, Eat with a Purpose, text line 69306. Listener 556 writes in and says, Vern, if you dogged me out like that on the radio, I would throat punch you. See, that's the beauty that most of my friends, high school and college and since college, none of them really live in the area.
I think we should learn how to become pilots because according to the text line, it is very, very easy to become a pilot.
Binkley came in here during the break. Did you know he had a pilot's license? Binkley had a pilot's license.
No.
Yeah, he did.
For what? When?
What do you
mean? I have so many questions.
For what? Fly a plane.
But what was he flying? Like for fun?
Yes.
Was he flying crop dusters?
I have no idea.
I don't know how to fly.
I would say you are unqualified, but for God's sakes, Binkley was a pilot. Protein House, Eat with a Purpose, text line 69306 from the 913. Guys, I had a friend who used to staple his forehead in college. He's now the head of surgery at a major Big 12 schools hospital. From the 816, Vern, I have a friend that's a lawyer in the area. He's an idiot. He'll get you the death penalty for a speeding ticket. From the 913, yes. Rye on the Plaza does indeed have a TV for you to watch the games. Got a couple of TVs, as a matter of fact. From the 816, everyone has a friend like that. Mine is a nurse. He should not be in charge of taking care of people. And then this person, just completely out of nowhere. Hey, Vern, Alcides Escobar has been released by the Baltimore Orioles.
That's...
But hang on a second. I've never seen someone spell Orioles like this. Like, I don't know if this is bogus, sir. Do you want to spell Orioles real quick? Do you think you could do that off the top of your head?
O-R-I-O-L-E-S.
Perfect. Nailed it. This gentleman or ma'am texts in and says, Escobar's been released by the Orioles. And he spelled it just like, I mean, I could understand how you get this, but O-R-I-E-O-L-S, Orioles. I mean, I could see that, I guess. All right.
I like where that person's head's at.
Right. I don't know how to spell it. Vern will understand. Orioles. Yeah, Esky done. Esky likely, his big league career is done. Best of luck to him. We'll see him when he is inducted into the Royals Hall of Fame, unless he wants to make that minor league money. Can't imagine he wants to make that minor league money. I did real quick want to pose this question because there's been a lot made about minor league money. and how players at like Class A, they receive about $1,100 a month, although after clubhouse dues and taxes, I mean, they're bringing home maybe $600-$700 a month, right? Not livable wages. You know, a AAA player makes about $2,100 a month, but after dues and taxes, they're bringing home about $1,500 a month. And I've seen a lot of players, including members of the Royals minor league affiliates, complain about how little they get. Blake Perkins, one of the Royals minor leaguers, was kind of joking that here's how much Mike Trout makes, here's how much Major League Baseball makes, and we're not even getting livable wages in the minor leagues. The Toronto Blue Jays just increased how much they're going to pay minor leaguers. They increased their Class A payments by more than 50%, and yet the players are still going to make less than $12,000 a year. God, I really hate that sounder. It immediately pisses me off every time you play it, especially when I'm in the middle of a point. But that sounder means scores on the tens. And right now in the NCAA tournament, two games going on, 10th-seeded Minnesota on top of 7th-seeded Louisville, 25-21, 3:39 left to play in the first half. In the East region, 3rd-seeded LSU is on top of number 14 Yale, 13-5, just about 4.5 minutes into that game. But here's the question concerning the minor leagues. And I hope this doesn't come across as cold-blooded, but should being a minor league baseball player, should that be a respectable job? Now, I understand you get drafted, you get your bonus. Some people can live off of that. But should being a minor league baseball player be something that you can make a career off of, that you can make a livelihood off of? And I hope that doesn't sound crass, but there are more than 6,000 players in the minor leagues. Should they get a livable wage? Again, I'm asking. I'm not trying to come across with a hot take. I'm being dead serious. Like, should you be a career minor leaguer? I always look at it like being a coach, heck, even being in this business right here. You're going to have to sacrifice if you want to achieve your goals. And in this job, in radio, in television, in coaching, in being a professional athlete, there comes a time in your life where you realize whether or not you have what it takes to make it at the highest level. And when you come to that realization, you have to make a decision whether or not it's worth it to stick it out. You have to have the self-awareness to understand what is my ceiling at this current profession. I saw a story, Kelvin Sampson, former Indiana head basketball coach, now the head man at Houston. He says at 24 years old, he took a coaching job at Montana on a $1,000 stipend. Not $1,000 a month. That's $1,000 for 10 months. That's all he got. Here's $1,000. You can be on the staff. But he took the gig because it could lead to something more. Because you have to sacrifice if you want to do something that is as exclusive as being a D1 college basketball coach. As exclusive as it is to become one of the 750 best baseball players in the world and make it to the big leagues. Again, not trying to be crass, not trying to be heartless on this. But it shouldn't be something that you pine to become a minor league baseball player. Minor league baseball to me is, to a certain extent, proper exploitation. Can you help us? Yes or no? If you can help us, we eventually will give you money. But if you can't, we're going to use your body to help guys that ultimately will help us down the line for them to hone their craft. So I see a lot of bleeding hearts on Twitter and social media and in other sports mediums. A lot of bleeding hearts for these minor leaguers that aren't making a livable wage. You don't have to do it. You don't have to be a minor league baseball player. If you believe that you have the possibility of making it to the big leagues, well, then I would advise you to stick it out. Sacrifice. Get by. It's not easy. But being a professional baseball player to me isn't supposed to be easy. Protein House, Eat with a Purpose, text line 69306. I'm honestly intrigued. Am I off base? Am I being heartless on this? Text line 69306. I promise we'll get to some college basketball, but Kansas fans, it might not be the discussion that you want to hear. That's next.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.